I'm Jim Fleming, and this is the podcast of one segment from To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas from PRI, Public Radio International, and Wisconsin Public Radio. Story of O scandalized a nation. A nation not easily scandalized, France. The anonymous tale of complete submission was called vulgar by some, brilliant by others. In any case, what kind of a person could write such a book? This week's podcast of To the Best of Our Knowledge comes from a program in which we'll find out the surprising secret. Also, the sensual history of the tango and Casanova's first love. Sex industries are commonplace in many countries, but it may be surprising to learn that one of the oldest red light districts in the world is found in Pakistan, a Muslim country. It's called Hira Mandi, or Diamond Market. This is the place that Louise Brown has visited for years, getting to know the women and the culture of prostitution. She writes about her experience in a book, The Dancing Girls of Lahore. Brown told Anne Strainchamps that Hira Mandi has a rich culture that goes back thousands of years.
The culture is built not just simply around the sale of sex, but traditionally, prostitution in Pakistan, and indeed throughout the whole of the Indian subcontinent, has been associated with the performing arts. So that traditionally, the higher class of prostitutes were actually courtesans, and they were trained from a very young age, maybe from about 6 or 7, in singing and particularly in dancing. When the girls got to about 13, 14 or 15, they would then enter the business. They would sell sex, but they would also be providing cultural performances. So this goes back an awful long way. There's been a link between the performing arts and sex and prostitution within the subcontinent for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years.
And were those girls, was there kind of pride associated with what they did?
Most definitely. They saw themselves as artists. And in fact, they were artists. They were extremely highly trained.
But that's changed in recent years, hasn't it?
It certainly has. What's happened is that a lot of the elite prostitution is in the process of moving out from Hira Mandi. And what is left in Hira Mandi are women who sell sex, but with far less of the kind of cultural accompaniments to selling sex, so that very few will now be trained in singing and dancing. Maybe they will have a course that lasts for a few months rather than a training that will last for years.
Mm. One of the surprising things about Hira Mandi is the fact that this is in Pakistan, which is a largely Muslim country. Isn't that something of a contradiction?
It is in any respect, but all societies, well, most societies have sex industries. It just takes different forms. The interesting thing about Pakistan is that although prostitution is illegal, in fact, all sex outside marriage is illegal, there is still a flourishing sex trade. The authorities basically just turn a blind eye to it. Providing it's concentrated in a particular area, say for example in Hira Mandi, there is acceptance of prostitution, providing it is hidden and providing it can be sort of under the control of the local police and the authorities. Because basically the police are actively involved in the prostitution business because they take free sexual services from the women and also they take bribes and protection money.
You've spent years following the life of one particular prostitute there, Maha. Will you tell me something about her?
Maha is from a traditional family of courtesans, so that women in her family have been in prostitution and also in the performing arts for literally generations. So Maha's grandmother and great-grandmother before her have all been in the same kind of business. Maha is now in her early 40s, and so that she's no longer viable within the business because there's an emphasis placed upon beauty and upon youth. So what's happened is there's been a generational transition during the few years that I've been following Maha's story, in the sense that her daughters are now replacing her in the business, and Maha has withdrawn from the trade. She no longer sings or dances or sells sex, and instead she manages the careers of her daughters.
So she is the pimp for her daughters?
Yes. In practice, yes.
And that's the way it was for her. Her mother sold her into prostitution.
It's repeated over and over again. And it's not as if the women are making a free choice to put their daughters into prostitution. It's not as if they have anything else that they can do. Because they're born into prostitution, they carry that stigma with them for the rest of their lives. They're seen as a kind of separate social group. Nobody will marry the daughter of a prostitute, even if that girl has never been in prostitution herself, because she's seen to be tainted by the stigma, that she's almost inherited the stigma from her mother.
You talked about they take pride in doing their job well. Do you mean just the singing and dancing, or their pride in their sexual abilities?
I think it's a mixture of both. They certainly take pride in being beautiful and well-presented and dancing well, but they also take pride in the fact that very high-status men would be interested in the daughters. So Maha's one daughter, Nena, who is now, she's an accomplished dancer. She's also patronised by a lot of very powerful men within Pakistan because she's young and because she's beautiful and because she's talented. And that has also got to do with her sexual skills too.
How did they see their relationship with you? I mean, here you are. I mean, no longer a stranger, but somebody who shows up and lives with them in their house. Like, what, a relative from a distant place who's come to visit?
A little like a relative from a distant place, a very close friend. It's hard for me to say how they view me. I like to think that they see me as a close friend. The girls in Maha's family do treat me as if I'm an aunt and they confide in me. On the other hand, I can also see that, you know, my role as an outsider is a difficult one because I am seen as a kind of almost like a window to another world. And it's also linked with status. Having friends from abroad is seen as being a sign of status for the women too. So I think that many times they see me as an asset, but also sometimes a little bit of a strange asset in the sense that I don't always do things correctly. I don't always understand exactly what's going on. So there's a kind of ambivalence. I would like to think that they really like me. I certainly hope they do.
There are a lot of funny scenes in which they seem to be constantly worrying about your makeup.
I think
you don't look the way they want you to.
No, I definitely don't come up to the mark, really. Because there's so much emphasis on looking good, the girls will spend hours every day on their makeup and their hair and their clothes. And I don't do that, and it really does show. So whenever we're going out, they try to encourage me to put on some more makeup or to change my clothes.
Do you play with makeup with them and
I do,
let them
but
dress
I always,
you? And...
Yeah, but I tend to look really hideous because I'm very fair-skinned. And so when they apply the makeup they would normally put on themselves, it doesn't suit me because it's much darker and more dramatic, lots of red lipstick and black eyeliner, which I really don't look good. I think they're concerned about it.
It must put you in such an awkward position to be there and to be friends. I mean, don't you want to, especially the girls, haven't you wanted to save them?
I have, but I don't know how to save them because it's not as if I could give them a completely new life. It's not as if I could find them a new job, if you like, a new way to support themselves because they have very few skills apart from dancing and selling sex. There was a time when Nena, who was then at the time 14, was sent to Dubai for a marriage to a very important sheikh. And I was
this
very concerned about this.
Marriage is probably the wrong word.
Yes. Well, it's a short-term liaison. Mm. And the marriage would last 2 or 3 days, and then she would be sent home.
And she was 14 and a virgin then?
Yes, yes. Virginity carries a very, very high price because it's associated with power. Only powerful men can afford to buy the virginity of, you know, elite courtesans.
So this was her entrance into the trade. She was her virginity was being sold by her mother,
right,
by her family.
And that was is actually seen as something that was very positive by the family because it was associated with high status. Because the sheikh himself was of extremely high status and because he was paying a lot of money, the family were pleased. And it wasn't simply because of the money. It was because of the status of the man himself. It was almost as if his social capital was sort of rubbing off on Nena. She'd be seen as the virgin bride of this very important sheikh. And that would do their reputation in the brothel area an awful lot of good because she would be associated with a high-status man.
And what were Nena's feelings? I mean, did she completely accept that this was how it should be? Did she have no fear or was she also...
She was
14.
She was frightened but happy at the same time. She did go to Dubai, and actually the marriage was not consummated. I use the word marriage rather loosely. The women commonly talk about clients as husbands and the sex that they have with them, they talk about it as a marriage. But this relationship wasn't consummated, and Nena was sent home after several months. Basically, she could not go through the process. She couldn't have sex with the sheikh because she was so upset. She kept being sick. And so the agent returned her to her mother a few months later.
What were the consequences for her then?
She was in disgrace, not in terms of, you know, her mother's opinion, but in terms of the system of agents that work in Hiramandi. Nene was known as a girl who caused trouble. So her status was, you know, lower, and many of the agents didn't deal with the family after that for a while. When Nene became a little bit older and she was more settled and she felt ready to enter the business, then her virginity was sold, if you like, that's a way of putting it, to another rich Arab, but nowhere near as high status as the original sheikh. And I found this whole process very, very difficult, because there was a time when I could have intervened to stop her being sent to Dubai. This is when she was 14, and I really didn't know what to do, because for the perspective of the family, it was a good thing. This is what the girls in the area have done for generations. And I saw it as my role not to intervene, but to document what was happening. By the same token, even if I had intervened to stop her being sent to Dubai, soon as I had gone back to England, she would then have gone. The only other alternative is to have her rescued by a charity. But that means that she then would have been deprived of the family that she loves, and she would have been placed in care, which in many respects is often worse than some of the places in Hiramandi.
What do you think will happen to this family ultimately? Because the world that they are moving in, this world of the higher class prostitution and the culture of Hiramandi, is also disappearing and changing radically.
It is. Prostitution is moving out of the red light area, but it's still very much associated with particular kinds of women, particular groups of women. Therefore, they might not live in Hiramandi in the future. They might, if they are successful enough, be able to buy a nice house in the suburbs, but they will still be linked with prostitution in the eyes of mainstream society, and that makes it very hard for them to integrate. They are seen as a kind of a group apart, and it's heavily stigmatized. So I've known of women who can escape from the brothel, but there are very, very few of them. A couple of instances of women who became famous actresses, and Hiramandi has, with its connections with the performing arts, been a place from which actresses and performers in Lollywood, it's the Pakistani equivalent of Bollywood, it's a place where these kind of women have come from. So some women who have been actresses have been able to get out of the brothel. There have also been a few instances of very high status women who have established successful relationships, long-term relationships, with wealthy men and made enough money to be able to educate their own daughters. And then those daughters, providing they leave Pakistan, have been able to establish a new life away from prostitution. But I'm not aware of women who make it out of the brothel and still remain within Pakistan, within kind of mainstream respectable society.
Louise Brown is the author of The Dancing Girls of Lahore. She spoke with Anne Strangeships. You've been listening to a segment from PRI's To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas. If you would like to hear the program in its entirety, visit ttbook.org or check with your local public radio station. You can also download the entire hour at audible.com/ttbook.